BBC Radio Boxer, it's 10 minutes past 12. Now, this is an extraordinary thing, and I'm going to hammer this home. And you know, if those of you who have been listening to me, even with half an ear over the last 6 or 7 years here, will know that I am fascinated by what we call climate change, global warming, etc., etc. And I don't believe everything I'm told. I don't believe everything I'm told about anything, because my job is, as a journalist and as an ordinary human being, to say, yeah, go on, convince me. But in 2007, the BBC told us that by 2012, there'd be no ice at all in the Arctic, and the Northwest Passage would be, you know, we'd all be going there in our kayaks, in our swimming trunks. Well, listen up now, because a chilly Arctic summer has left nearly a million more square miles of ocean covered with ice than at the same time last year. That's an increase of 60%. It may well be that we're starting off from such a low base that that is not important. On the other hand, it might be important. Days before the annual autumn refreeze is due to begin, an unbroken ice sheet, more than half the size of Europe, is already stretching from the Canadian islands to Russia's northern shores. Dr. Ed Hawkins, who's a climate scientist from the University of Reading, has joined me in the studio. Ed, thank you very much for coming in, breaking into your Saturday.
That's no problem. Nice to meet you.
We appreciate it. Nice to meet you. What's going on?
What's going on? Well, I think it's important to see the longer-term context of what's going on over the last few years. And what we know is that since satellites started observing the Arctic in about 1979, we've had a sort of much more complete picture of what's going on since then, since the satellites were launched. And what we've seen over that time is that every year, as you said, the ice melts away in summer and then refreezes again in the winter. But over that time also, we've seen that the amount of ice we see in the summer and also the winter has declined quite a lot over the last 35 years or so. And in the summer, we've seen about a third of the amount of ice has disappeared when compared to the 1970s and 1980s.
Is this covering or is this depth?
So this is covering. So the amount, the area that is covered by ice has declined by about a third over the last 35 years.
Over the last 35 years. But is this a scientifically verifiable notion that it's beginning to come back? Because in last Sunday's Mail, they showed the two photographs. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the camera doesn't lie. Well, it does. It depends on where you point it. But it is, I mean, you just look at it, and anybody says, and you're nodding, I mean, it is.
So, yes, there is more ice extent this year than last year, and that is, it's an expected thing to happen. So what we see is that there has been this gradual decline over the last 35 years. But on top of that decline, we have year-to-year variations. So if the weather is particularly bad in the Arctic one year, we'll see a particularly low level of ice extent that particular year.
And is this a trend?
So there's a trend, long-term trend, because the climate is warming and that is melting more ice. But on top of that trend as well, we see different weather conditions from year to year. So, for instance, last year in 2012, we had very extreme weather in the Arctic. We had a very big storm that went across the Arctic and helped break up the ice. The ice is thinning, so that makes it more vulnerable to these types of storm.
Okay.
And so the ice break up, and last year was an extremely low level. So last year, we only had about half the amount of ice extent as compared to the 1970s. And this year, the weather's been more benign. It's been slightly calmer, so there are not these storms to break up the ice. So we're back to a more normal year, but it's still a third less than what we saw in the 1980s.
You see, either there's global warming or there isn't. You can't have global warming on a variable year-to-year basis.
Well,
one year is global warming and the next year, it's getting a bit chilly. So you're the guys who are meant to be telling us what's going on.
So I think a nice analogy is the stock market. Over time, the stock market, as the economy grows, gets larger and larger, more and more value over time. But it doesn't mean it gets bigger every year on year, as we've seen.
Right.
You know, we get some good news and the stock market goes up. We get some bad news, the stock market goes down. And it's the same with the climate. What we see is a long-term gradual trend, but we, as the, so in the Arctic, for instance, if we get a bad year, bad weather, then we see a dip in the amount of ice. And if we get a good year, good weather, then it goes up again. But it's on top of this long-term trend. So it's not inconsistent to get these variations from year to year on top of this longer-term trend.
Where would you see the ice? You gave us a scenario there stretching back, I think you said 30, 35 years. Where would you see it in the next 35 years? I won't be here, you will be, my children will be, just about.
Mm-hmm. So that's a good question. So the consensus view is that by the middle of the century, so at about 35 years' time, then we'll start to see years in the Arctic where we have very little ice in the summer, so almost ice-free sometime in the next 35 years or so. Maybe a little bit sooner, maybe a little bit later, but kind of mid-21st century.
Now, the key question. Most lay people who are curious about things, as we should be, will say, well, the climate has changed. You know, we had a woolly mammoth story this week, and the poor old woolly mammoths died out, not because it got too cold for them, but because it got too warm, and the grass that the poor old things were trying to eat burned. Now, the climate has always changed. The globe, as in global warming, has always fluctuated, and we're still here. And I don't wake up every morning bemoaning the fact that I can't see a woolly mammoth or a pterodactyl. So, what is the scientific view on whether or not it is climate that is changing, or it is changing as a result of global warming that may or may not be man-made?
So, what we see is that over the last 150 years, global temperatures have risen by about 0.8 degrees.
Which, again, to the man on the cloud, the man on the bus, is meaningless.
Well, so the UK...
got a bit warmer.
The UK's warmed by about 1 degree over right. that time. So, and people can notice that. People can appreciate that the temperatures have gradually changed over time. It's very difficult to appreciate from year to year.
Yes.
Because,
yes.
You know, as we've discussed before, there's so much variability from year to
and
year.
And there's a difference between weather and climate.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, the last few summers are a prime example of that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you have been up as far north as you can go into the Arctic Circle. I have been. And the inappropriately named Cambridge Antarctic Survey is based up there, even though it's in the Arctic Circle. Now, every single member of the United Nations has a representative scientist up there. These guys, probably guys just like yourself, they do nothing but study and study and study. Yet, blow me, you cannot get a single one of them to say why it is happening. They won't pin it on us. I mean, eventually I ended up saying to one guy from Korea, really lovely bloke and very funny too, I said, so it's basically God's fault. And he said, yeah, I think it's God's fault. Where are we now?
So, it's a very good timing actually, because in a couple of weeks' time, on the 27th of September, the latest UN large assessment report
from the IPCC one.
The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, will release its fifth large assessment report. 850 authors from around the world, and that will be published on the 27th of September.
Right.
And they will be giving the scientific consensus view on what has caused the changes over the last...
With help from the University of East Anglia, I presume, too.
East Anglia is involved. Reading has a very large contingent of scientists involved as
Great.
Well. We have one of the largest scientists involved of any institution in the world.
Have you had a sneak preview?
I helped write... I was an author on one of the chapters, so I've seen some of it.
Right.
I'm afraid I can't say anything that's about... You've got to wait another couple of weeks, I'm afraid.
You will be. You will be. Don't make any arrangements for the Saturday nearest to that publication. but, you know, we... Man will survive. We'll survive.
As
we have always survived. And to Pace, David Attenborough telling us really like Corporal Fraser that we're all doomed, you know. And the next time I hear somebody telling me that the world is overpopulated, I'll explain to them that the world is almost empty. Ed, listen, thanks for coming in.
No problem, thank you for having me.
It's been a great pleasure. And check the Saturday nearest the 27th of September. Don't make any other arrangements because you'll be here. I suppose this report is going to look like about five telephone directories.
The full report is very large. There is a summary as well, fortunately, which is much more digestible.
Summary for the layman. Okay, thank you very much indeed. That's Dr. Ed Hawkins, climate scientist from the University of Reading, and it's 12:20.